for makes me feel so happy. You know, and when you suggest, no, you don't clap like that. Yeah. That's a European way of clapping. You clap something in my heart, and you move immediately. They feel guilty. They freeze, and it takes a long time to get them to realize that, you know, the body is a part of you and is a part of your expression. Mm-hmm. And even if you are saying you're worshiping God, then certainly you can use your body to worship him. And the fact that you move your hips doesn't necessarily mean that you're offending God, right? So you see, we have this dual business here all the time. Even with like a stream running down makes me feel so happy. Yes, certainly we can learn.
Makes me feel so happy.
As happy as can be.
When take it from the directions. You said music is not for worship, but for communication. You mean communication?
Religion.
That's religion. You see, if I may elaborate on that a little. To the, I don't know what word to use, but you know, the Jamaican who has been educated, you know, educated and so on.
European.
Well, who has been very a good student of the masters for the last 300 years and has been convinced that what they teach is better than what our spirit tells us and what comes naturally. To that sort of Jamaican, society is people. And of course, society is in strata. Now, to the grassroots Jamaican, and I'm glad to say that some of us who have been exposed to teaching of other cultures are learning to understand. Society is all life. All life. And there is an interaction. And you find this at very practical levels. For instance, we have a lot of, everybody knows we're going through a hard time financially. Oil crisis and whatnot, food prices go up. And I say to my cook, you know, they had some more disturbances there because they felt that that man was hoarding rice. And she says, Jesus, help Jamaica. Because if we love one another, it would never happen. He wouldn't hoard the rice. And if we loved him, we wouldn't attack him. Jesus, help us. She does not condemn. She asks God to solve the problem. You know, leave it to God. Right? You know, this is it. And they really believe it. That is why they can live through what people think are terrible sufferings. So society is us, the generation to come, children coming up. But it is also all those who have gone before, because they are still alive and they still can influence our lives and do. Now, you get cults, and people say that they are anti-Christian. They may not believe that Christ is a God in the way that Christians do, because to them, we are all part of God. And the difference between Christ and most of us is that Christ was nearer to God. His communication was much better, see? And the cult leader's communication is better. This is why if you have a problem, someone is taking away your wife, you think, you don't go to a counselor. You go to your spiritual leader. Because he can find he can find a solution better than you by getting into tune with the spiritual world where all problems and all solutions lie. This is the basic thing. Life too is the animals. Life is the trees, society. Society is the stones and the sea. Everything that God made has some of his life in it. And so we must treat everything as a part of God, everything that was made. And anything that man made is because he has seen it in the heart of God. So things come not by us, but through us. Right? And the laws of God are always operating. They never change. So, and this sometimes makes people who have been exposed to a lot of book learning look down on the people who haven't, and yet they can often go right to the heart of a problem. If I may give you an example, you know, we are in the hurricane belt, and some years ago we had a hurricane warning. So I tried to do all the various things, buy candles, matches, food that didn't need to be cooked, went home to sterilize the bath, to store water, and so on and so on. And there was a woman working in the home. So I said to her, you'd better go home and get the things for your children and fix up so that when the hurricane comes, you'll be all right. Yes, ma'am. Jamaican very often says what he thinks you want him to say. This is why it's difficult to research them from outside. Right? And when I say outside, I don't mean you, I mean me. Because if I'm not a communal cultist, I'm outside too. I have to get inside with them. Let them accept me. Let them see, well, here is somebody who genuinely wants to know. Then all is well. It may take a year.
One moment.
Yes?
If I'm not a...
Kuminan cultist. Kuminan. K-U-M-I-N-A.
Okay.
Well, she said, yes, ma'am, of course, because, you know, I pay her, so she must be respectful. So she's not going to say, you're talking nonsense. She says, yes, ma'am, and continues doing what she was doing. An hour later, she is still doing what she was doing. So I said, look, go home. There's going to be a storm. Yes, ma'am. Half an hour later, she hasn't budged. So I said to her, no, look, I don't want to feel guilty if anything happens to you. Please go home and look about your own affairs. She said, look here, teacher. No breeze going to blow. I said, listen, the weather satellite, the Miami Weather Bureau, the Palisades Bureau, they have aeroplanes up there spotting it. They say it is coming here, it is moving, and so on. She said, this storm not coming here. You think if breeze was going to blow, that is how the fouls would be going on? Right. And that was all that she needed. You know, you can tell with weather satellites, science, you can keep that. Man can make a mistake. God cannot make a mistake, teacher. Right? And you know she was right. So that many a Jamaican, if they want to know if it's going to rain, they don't look in the press. They look at the corner from which the rain for Kingston comes. And if everywhere else has the blackest clouds and that has a little spot of blue, it's not going to rain. If there's going to be a storm, the trumpet tree leaves turn over. And the trumpet tree cannot make a mistake. It has to turn over, right? And this is the sort of thing. So you get a feeling of illiteracy and ignorance, you know, from people who go to the mind of man, right? And so you find a lot of what is called pagan beliefs. Now I choose to use pagan, meaning things that knowledge that is found at the heart of nature. rather than in the mind of man. So I don't mind when people say we are pagan, because it did not mean what they think it means. Knowledge that is gained direct from nature. And not from the mind of man.
Did you say fowl? Mm-hmm.
Fowl, yes, chickens, you know, chickens. Mm-hmm.
In other words, they were not scurrying for cover.
No. Ooh. Yes, they would have behaved in a different way, if, you know. And I was very interested. I was in England this summer, and there is a book out which investigates things like this. And unfortunately, we have so little confidence in ourselves that very often, if it is in a book, then it must be so, you know. Mm-hmm. And if it happens in Germany and England, then that's fine. But out here, it's superstition. Mm-hmm. And one of the things mentioned was that people look and see what the beavers do. And if the beavers behave in a certain way, they know whether it's going to be a hard or a fairly mild winter. Mm-hmm. Same sort of thing. Now, perhaps you'd like to hear a little of specific cults. Am I going? How long do I have?
As long as you will go, we'll listen.
It's a dangerous thing. Now, I have some words written down here. Maroon, Gumbe, Revival, Rasta, Kumina. And I'll just try and tell you a little about each. And I'm not going to tell you at any learned level. I'm going to tell you at a very human level from my own experience. Now, I hear you're going to Moortown. Ask for Mrs. Renock. And ask for Mrs. Aarons. R-E-N-N-O-C-K. And Mrs. A-A-R-O-N-S. And tell them I asked you to give them my love.
Mm-hmm. That's the word.
Yes. Now, I waited for a year to go to Moortown because you can go where there is a lot of cultural weight in Jamaica and you seem to be knowing what is happening and you're not. Because, let's face it, we would be the same. You know, you can go to a church and you'll be shown the pews and the altar and so on. But are you shown the things that really lie beneath it? Are you shown the what happens when there is an ordination? The cross, you can look at a cross, but unless you know the history and all that lies behind that cross, it's just two bits of thing like that, see? And the same thing happens with a lot of the things that are of cultural weight in Jamaica. Now, I waited for a year because I wanted them to invite me. And they did. And they sang some songs to me and told me stories. And I was very grateful. And I kept in touch, and I went again. Then I went, I took a Nigerian musician there, and of course he understood a lot more than I did immediately. But I was thrilled because I was sitting in the colonel's house and one of these ladies came, and she didn't say, "Good morning, Miss Lewin." She said, "Dance, come meet me. Dance, come meet me." You see, this is one soul greeting another soul. You get what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we were together, right? I haven't done as much work in Moortown as in Akampong. And perhaps it will be interesting for you. I don't know how interesting religiously, but anyway. In Akampong, there are lots of things that happen that are not open to even me, and they tell me that I am a, you know, they have elected me a Maroon. Mm. And there are lots of things that I am told when the lamps are turned down at night and four of us are sharing a room, and I say to someone, Miss B, I saw something today that I didn't understand. You could go and see the cave in which some of the Maroons hid during one of their wars with the British. We went there last year and it was a most exciting journey. First of all, it looks like just a rock. You climb up and there's space for about 14 people in there. Now they had danced gumbe. They had danced. Someone had gone into mayal, as this is what they did at regular intervals.
Possession.
Yes. To find out what was going to happen. And they were told the British are going to have lunch in that valley. So they camouflage themselves. They are still experts at camouflage. And they ambushed the valley. But they put men into this cave. Because the terrain is such that you can only go by a limited number of paths. And they placed a stone so that everybody had to step on that stone. And this told them how many soldiers there were. And when there was no more sound, they said, well, that's the end of it. They communicated how many, and they blew a signal. And the troops who were eating or, you know, relaxed were surrounded. Well, they feel that this was the final straw and it led to the signing of the treaty. And because it was this drum that kept on warning them when the British were coming, so that the British with their better trained troops and more sophisticated weapons could not get the better of them, not in that area anyway. They feel that they must revere this drum. And they use it once a year on a day when they celebrate this particular happening. Now, I went to a funeral of an ex-colonel of the Maroons, and learnt things that I had never thought happened in Jamaica. First thing that I noticed was that the coffin was put between the where people were sitting, right, with the family. And they said, he is still in the family. I was honored by being asked to join the family. And at the end of the service, which was kept in an established church by an established preacher, there was this procession out. Now, on the coffin was laid his uniform, colonel's uniform, and his hat was included. Then before the coffin went two men, one carrying a handmade gun, the type that they used to hunt, and the other a bow and arrow, because this was also used. And a third man with the abeng. And this was the abeng that was used in the wars 200 years ago. The abeng is a cow's horn through which they blow. And the Maroons, both in Mortown and in Akompong, still use it to send messages. And at certain points, they fired shots
They blew the abeng and they wailed. I had never heard wailing at a funeral before. And here again we had a clash of cultures, because the priest said, if you will stop the noise, I will get on with the service. Quite mercy. I don't think I can tell you anything about the Maroons. You'd have to learn about them yourself. Okay? People say sometimes that they worship their ancestors. I don't know if Christians worship a cross. I don't know. But they certainly revere their ancestors. And on this day, for instance, this one day of the year, part of the ritual is to take food to the burial places of their ancestors. And this is surrounded with a lot of ceremony, ceremonial dancing, singing, and beating of the drums. If you had time, I would have liked you to come to the center where we have tapes and we could play them for you, but it's always so rushed. Now we come down the hill, because the Maroons are up in the hills, and we get into the southern part of, well, get a very rough map of Jamaica. Very rough. And this is where we are. I was talking about here. That's where the Maroons that I was speaking about.
That's Akompong.
Akompong.
Near Montego Bay.
Right. Yeah. Now we come further down here and we find a little place called Cuffy's Pen. Now it's very interesting doing this sort of work, because you get within half a mile of the person you want and nobody knows them. Mm. Anyway, you get to Cuffy's Pen and you find a group of people who use the same drum, but they use it any time that they need it. Mm. And when they need it is when someone is in trouble. Someone is in trouble, the whole group meets and sings and dances. Someone goes into a trance and relays what should be done. And whatever should be done is done. It sometimes means destroy the house in which the person is living. Right? Build another at another spot. And everybody gets to and destroys the house and puts it up somewhere else. Because this was the message. It may be simply to drink a certain tea. You know, whatever it is, this is what has to be done. It may be a matter of offering libations. But they use the same square gumbe drum anytime it is needed, with the attendant movements as always. Now, strangely enough, the gumbe music here is very much like the Maroon music here, which is where you're going tomorrow. I don't know why. I haven't found out yet. But the movements are similar between all three. And as a musician, I found it very interesting, because a lot of these songs are not in the modern European scale patterns. They are in modal patterns. And of course, again, because of my Western training, I was going to the Greeks, because that's as far back as our encyclopedias take us. And then I realized that those scales had been codified by the Greeks, and that they had existed in China and in Africa and in other ancient civilizations thousands of years before. I was able to find out that the Chinese, for instance, had codified those same sort of modes 5,000 years BC, whereas, you know, the history of Western music, if you go back to the 11th century, you're doing very well. See? And these songs, you get songs like, all right, this is a maroon one. Also, in the maroons, we have songs that go up and down the chord, and I wonder if it's because the horns are natural horns, you know. You know, that sort of tune. Then in the Gumbe, here, you get... you know, this sort of very... It's not using the modern scales that we're accustomed to. And if I can give you a little funny story, at least I think it's funny about that. I once went to our general penitentiary because I thought, now here we are going to find men from all over Jamaica. So instead of going to all the parishes, I'll just find them there. And so I did. And of course, they were very happy to see me as somebody from outside. And one of the men was singing a song, which I found extremely interesting, because it did not stop on do or on the chord of do, which is where you expect it to. And every time he ended a verse, the warder would finish it for him. So I got something like da da dee da 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 dee da 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 dee, and the warder would go la and say da da dee da 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 dee da da. La. He was sure that that man was singing it wrong. And this happens even now, because there are lots of songs which are in these modes, which of course do not honor the do and the ti do that we have got so accustomed to, our ears have got so accustomed to. You have heard about Rasta. You have heard about Zion and Poco. Afterwards, we will learn to sing that chorus. I think some of you wanted that. Kumina. I suppose you've heard something about Kumina too. But Kumina to me is extremely interesting. So interesting that sometimes I wonder if my ancestors came from that part of Africa. Actually, although Kumina is pagan, it has no Christian influence. And because of that, I thought, well, perhaps then this is older than revival, which is a mixture of African and Christian. But it didn't go that way at all. Kumina seems to have been brought here by the freed Africans after slavery was abolished. And they came from the Congo-Angola region. This was first researched by Mr. Siaga.
I mean, they came on their own?
Apparently, they did not come here as slaves. And this is a very, very living cult. It flourishes mainly in this part of Jamaica. Put Palisades too far out. But you have a few of these people here. If I had known that you were this interested, I would have tried to get one. I took one of the drummers to the prison on Tuesday to play for the prisoners, and he just electrified them. He electrifies people all the time. But he also stops at the most strange places, because of course he's a cult drummer, he's not an entertainer. And the minute he feels that he's going too far, he stops. You know, he has to stop. But I think you would have enjoyed it. Now, there is a very active Kumina group in Kingston. And my New Year's Eve is spent with this group, because they have to have a very serious ritual every New Year's Eve. They are, as it were, saying, forgive us for any of our limitations during the year past, and help us for the year to come. and they have singing, dancing, drumming, and a sacrifice. It is a most moving and powerful ceremony. You know, the more I go into these sort of things, it's the less I find myself able to talk about them, because it's so easy to become very intellectual about things and analyze them. But when you're dealing with people's beliefs and feelings, how do you express that, you know? And this is what is happening to me, I'm afraid. But I'd like to sing you a couple of the Kumina songs. Now, Kumina, since I'm supposed to have been giving you a talk on music, let's get out your music. Kumina uses two main drums, the kibando and the plate.